Let's go, baby!
It's time for the Return of the Empire podcast. 1 hour of all things red and gold.
Return of the Empire.
Here are your hosts, Sacktown Sports 49ers insider Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Yes, sir. That is us, Return of the Empire, back for another episode, recapping week four, looking ahead to week five. It's Dallas week! And, of course, it is me, myself, truly, Emiliano Emil Fragoso, 49ers beat writer for Sacktown Sports. Alongside me, of course, is Nate Littlefield, producer extraordinaire slash co-host, Kyle Ledbetter on the ones and twos behind us. How's everyone doing today?
Man, I'm doing good. Can you guys hear me okay?
We got you, buddy. We Great. Got you.
Yes,
Nate is at home on health and safety protocols. We want to make sure he is all good, but he has graced us with his presence today. Nate, thanks for being here.
Well, basically, my whole thing is that I'm sick again. I'm just sick. You can hear it in my voice. It's really awful. My thing is that I don't want to get Emil sick, because then Emil goes and deals with the players all the time. And imagine if like McCaffrey can't play next week because he had a cold or just something, whatever this is. That I would, even if it wasn't my fault, I would think it's my fault. I would blame myself, and it would be a disaster.
Well, Nate, I appreciate you for that, man. We're all wishing you the best to get healthy and get back in here. But we got to talk some Niners football. That's what this show is all about. Obviously, Return of the Empire, a podcast, but live during the season. And of course, where we're going to start, but week four. 49ers beat the Cardinals 35-16. At the end of the game, it feels like a rout, but in the middle there, it got close, it got competitive, but in the end, the Niners took care of business at home, 4-0 in the season. Nate, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was a solid performance by the Niners. Divisional game, so it's always going to be tough. It's always going to be unique. A team that knows you pretty well, albeit they have a new coach, new quarterback, kind of. Kyler Murray's there. Got a little chippy at the end, post-game with James Conner and Hufanga, which was... You know, it's probably how this team's been chippy like that all year. There's been a lot of punches thrown and thankfully not a ton of flags for stuff like that. I thought the Niners looked great. The only thing that I can kind of knock them on is that the offense was barely on the field because they were generally scoring pretty quickly. So most of the damage was being done. If you look at the spread between, ball possession, it was almost 50-50 down the middle. So That is a weird problem to have, that your offense is clicking too well, that your defense is on the field too much, because it kind of seemed like they were getting a little tired.
The Niners were getting tired, you're saying?
Yes, yeah. I think there were some defensive mistakes that, you know, and penalties, not like personal fouls or anything, that could have been cleaned up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there were definitely some rough spots for sure. And just going off your, obviously, time of possession, this is really rare for the Niners. They lost the time of possession battle. Arizona Cardinals had it 30 minutes, 46 seconds of possession. Niners had 29-14 of possession. So they lost it by more than about a minute and a half, which is unique because the Niners usually like to run the ball, hold the clock, control the game, control the tempo. And they still did that, but just in a much more efficient drive. You're looking right now, you know, you see drives of 5 plays, 75 yards. 8 plays, 75 yards, you know, 8 plays, 62 yards, no 10 plus drives that really worked out to be a lot, but the Niners, they took care of business and really behind Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. I mean, he's averaging like 7.5 yards per carry. So, and he's busting off for these huge runs, and it's not like they were passing it, but they passed the ball 21 times, which is a number we'll come back to later, which is not a lot. That's kind of low for an NFL game in this era. So it's not like they weren't running the ball. They were running the ball like crazy. But, you know, it just McCaffrey was getting these huge breakaway plays that it didn't matter, you know?
Yeah, we got to talk about obviously 4 touchdowns on the day for Christian McCaffrey. But those breakaway plays, and you even mentioned it too, even Brock Purdy, 20 for 21 throwing. And again, 21 passes, not a lot of passes. Even week three against the Rams, he had 35 passing attempts. And so that's what's unique about that. But maybe I guess it's because Christian McCaffrey was running the ball so effectively. That's why he didn't have to throw a lot. But, I mean, I don't even know what to say with this Niners offense, Nate, because it feels like even without using George Kittle, even without using Deebo Samuel, just using Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey, they got the job done and handily. And that's what makes him so interesting as a unit.
Well, I think Debo is out there to be a decoy, to be another thing that the defense has to constantly keep in the back of their mind. And, you know, Debo is running around, and before the ball was snapped, there was a lot of motion with him. He had one carry. He didn't get involved too much.
He had three attempts for 6 yards out of the backfield, and that's it. No catches.
Okay. Yeah, no catches. So it's great to have him out there. It's great to have Kittle out there too, even though it was Ayuk's game. And man, did Ayuk really just looked like a wide receiver one in that game against the Cardinals, for sure. I was so impressed with every catch he had. Brock had that throw where Ayuk was in double coverage with the safety in the corner.
Yeah. And
put it kind of like where it landed, it looked like only Ayuk could get it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the ball was in the air, if the safety could have jumped around a little more, but man, he caught it like fingertips and then just glued it in, pulled it in. And I was so impressed.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brandon Ayuk finishing 6 catches, 148 yards on 6 targets. We have some Brandon Ayuk sound actually from the game of that play. Let's go to it, Kyle.
Purdy in the gun. McCaffrey comes in jet sweep motion across. Play action to Debo. Brock going to throw back and throw a deep ball down the middle. Caught by Brandon Ayuk again. Another big chunk for Ayuk.
You heard that a lot all day. I mean, B.A. had himself a day, 148 yards receiving. What is it about Brandon Ayuk do you think that makes him so special, Nate?
Well, I want to add, too, that was his career high, which I didn't know till like 20 minutes ago, 148. Yes. So it was kind of a sneaky 148, I thought. You know, I know he had the three big catches, but that 148's a lot.
No, 148 is a lot.
Yeah, that's for sure. So 6 receptions on 148. I am so impressed with him. He, like I said a couple minutes ago, he's a true wide receiver one, in my opinion. I think other teams will be wanting to come after him. I think he's an absolute luxury. He's like a quintessential wide receiver in the NFL today. He's just fast. He's an elite route runner. I was listening to, I think it was Brian Baldinger, talk about how important route running is and what makes a route a good route. And just the fact that he doesn't lose his speed when he's making a cut is so important. He's making these moves and, you know, psyching someone out left and going right and not slowing down at all. It's just consistently good from him. He's got the dog.
He's got that dog in him. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. He has a dog in him. And I watched him from Arizona State, so I kind of saw this potential there. But again, first year, obviously, he was in the doghouse under Kyle Shanahan because of his run blocking struggles. Then he worked through that in the second year. Now year three, he took off. Now this is year four, and it feels like just a coming out party for Brandon Ayuk, who leads the team in receiving despite missing a game and getting hurt in the second one really early on. I mean, it's crazy to think that whenever BA is out there, he is kind of the focal point of that offense and the passing game, it seems. And BA even said it after the game, you know, Jerry Rice was talking to him with NBC Sports Bay Area, talking about, you know, do you think you're a top 10 NFL receiver right now? And he goes, y'all know what I want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. They want that highlight. They want that clip.
Absolutely.
Because if he did say it, we would have put it on the show.
Look, BA is such a special player. And there really is a mental side of it that I think clicked with BA over the last 2 years. And I asked Christian McCaffrey about it actually after the game, because Christian had a great game. But I wanted to ask him about BA, because BA was out week three and the Niners at times struggled offensively. But when he came back into it, their offense seemed to really open up. So I asked Christian, what is it about BA that makes him so special? Why is he open up your offense? And he goes, man, what BA does with this team, like how much he loves to be out there, how much he loves to play football. And he shared with us that BA actually was visibly upset when he wasn't allowed to play week three against the Giants, so much so that he was actually almost in tears because he had to miss out on his first game since his rookie season. And he goes, that right there showed me how much he cares about this team, how much he cares about playing football, even if something so minor that it'd be a week off or whatever, you know, for his long-term health. He didn't want to miss a single game because he wanted to be out there to help his team. I mean, that says so much about BA's character.
I didn't realize he hasn't missed a game since his rookie year. That's impressive. Which is makes me so happy to see him healthy. It's awesome. But I think we need to get into, before we get into the Well, I guess they're both record breakers. We'll get into the smaller record first, I'd say. I don't want to, you know, take away from either guy here, but let's get into Brock Purdy real quick.
Yeah.
20 for 21, over 95% completion rating. Just wild. Just, he did not, his first incompletion, I wrote it down when I saw it, was at the 10:52 mark around there in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. I kind of thought that he knew of the streak as he was going, because he took a sack in the second quarter of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He took a sack when he was 13-13, which was actually right before his first incompletion. It might have been the play before. He took the sack and it looked like he could have thrown it away. So I was thinking in my head when he's I might have said it out loud, but like, oh, he's trying to keep that streak going. He's got a record to break today. But I didn't know till afterwards that Brock usually kind of has an idea of what's going on stats-wise.
Yeah.
As a player. He was asked in the post-game presser. He had no clue. He had no clue that he had one incompletion till the end of the game. So I believe him. You know, he's sometimes is a little silly about things or makes jokes or whatever. But I believe him. I have no reason not to.
Yeah, and if you saw the behind the scenes the Niners showed of, you know, Kyle breaking down the locker room after the game, Kyle's reading off the stats and he reads off Brock's 20 for 21. Everyone goes, damn! They're like all surprised. The whole team is shocked that he was 20 for 20. Like, no one really knew. No one was keeping track, I guess, in their mind. But Brock, you know, that one throwaway was on a 3rd and 20 to Christian McCaffrey. And McCaffrey even joked, oh man, I got to watch the tape. I probably should have gotten that one. You know, just really lighthearted stuff. And that's what's so interesting about this team is that, like, they strive to be perfect. Not many franchises can have that expectation of, like, we demand perfection. And this team demands perfection. And it's almost impossible to do, obviously. But Brock Purdy came damn near close.
Yes, he did. He looks awesome. Shout out to our good friend Carmichael Dave in the chat, too. Oh, you know. Shout out to our really good best friend Carmichael Dave.
Oh, but, look at Dave. Dave, good to see you too, man. I'll be on Niners 9 tomorrow on StreamYard.
try not to forget.
I won't forget tomorrow.
all right, we gotta get into the big record then.
Yes, we do.
And that would be I couldn't think of anything funny. I was gonna say something funny, but I couldn't think of anything. McCaffrey breaking the streak 13 games in a row. With a touchdown, beating Jerry Rice record of 12 games in a row, and it happened quick. It happened really quick. It seemed like Shanahan wanted to get him the record, like, right away. It happened at the 9:10 mark, first quarter, so it was just, I mean, it was just instantly, and then he was off the whole. It seemed like he was just in a different league, literally. Mm-hmm. It seemed like he was playing XFL guys or something. At that point, so but,
like you saw that there was that video of McCaffrey playing Pee Wee football going around in the week prior. That's what it felt like actually out there on the field. That McCaffrey's playing against a league lower, like he was still in college or something at Stanford, because he just made everything look so effortless and so easy, especially on that second touchdown pass. I mean, that was ridiculous. It was actually a run, but it obviously one of those weird swing passes that they throw from Brock that's behind them, so it's a run technically, but kind of a pass. And McCaffrey just took that thing and just went into the house. And I had to shout out the blocking as well from Jake Brendel, Debo Samuel, and other guys, because it was excellent the way they set that up. But just Christian McCaffrey in that hurdle. I mean, the dude was ridiculous. I was visibly giggling in the press box when that happened.
Yeah, he, man, it's so good. He's so, for his size, he's just so fast and elusive. His second touchdown where he leaped over the defender, it's just like a gazelle. He's like it doesn't make any sense for the way he's built.
Do you see how his body stayed, you know, vertical too? It didn't lean or anything. That's because of all the training he does as a sprinter. He doesn't train like a running back. He trains like he's an Olympic sprinter. If you watch these workout videos he does, it's crazy. The ability to keep his balance and verticality is such a rare thing for someone, you know, he's a very muscular guy. Yes, he might be smaller in stature, like height wise, but he's like a very muscular guy. And so for him to be able to do that, I mean, just he's a special, one-of-a-kind generational talent.
Yeah, and I know we're going to break here in a minute or two, but before we do that, I would like to give the Cardinals props. I think they're a well-coached team. Jonathan Gannon, right? That's their head coach. He man, I had like no confidence in them coming into the season. And yeah, I think a lot of people didn't either. I am very impressed with the way they've been playing. I'm impressed with Josh Dobbs. I'm impressed with just their grit and tenacity. Those are loaded words, but it's hard to describe guys like that. They could easily be like 3-1 or 2-2. So they, you know, next time the Niners play them, it might be a little more interesting. Who knows?
Yeah, it really might be they play him later on in the season. But Josh Dobbs, I had to really give a shout out to Josh Dobbs. I had not expected anything good to happen from him yesterday. And yes, he almost threw a pick to Fred Warner that Fred Warner dropped. But Josh Dobbs finished the game 265 passing, 2 touchdowns, 28-41, 102 QBR. I mean, if there is a quarterback out there that's going to put up some number against this really stout Niners defense, that is a number you kind of want to have. It was a very good showing from Josh Dobbs in the offense, and I'm just shocked. I'm shocked that they were able to hold on and be competitive. I mean, they made it a 5-point game at one point and went for 3 and didn't get it. But that was just a really big deal right there. And the Cardinals are a tough out. Could easily be 3-1 right now, in my opinion. And here we are, you know, moving on to week 5, but definitely a test in week 4.
Yeah, yeah. When they went for 2, did you know they only had 10 men on the field, the Niners?
And what? I'm sorry.
When the Cardinals went for 2, when it was close, the Niners only had 10 players on defense.
You know, I didn't actually know that. I didn't realize, yeah. And the Niners still stopped it. That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So Huff ended up pushing him out of bounds. Sanchez was on the call for Fox and pointed it out, and then I had to pause and count. And I thought that was even more impressive. But
yeah, absolutely. It's absolutely impressive. We got to go to break here in a second. But when we come back, talking through 4 weeks, what are our thoughts on the Niners? Is the O-line doing good? Who's the biggest challenge? What's the biggest game so far? You know, Eagles, Niners. We got to talk about that. The 2 undefeated teams right now. But we'll be back after this. Return of the Empire, Sactown Sports.
What's the latest with the San Francisco 49ers? Carmichael, Dave, and Jason Ross keep you up to date on all things red and gold.
All right, we are live on YouTube.
Every week. Hey, can you? Oh, you did. Okay, thanks, Kyle.
Now we're good.
Yay!
Yeah, I forgot I have to take the commercial breaks out, too.
I cannot hear Nate.
Yeah, because Nate's off. Let's try that again.
Nate,
hey.
There he's. Hi, Nate.
Hey, I'm on now.
Hi, YouTube chat. You have any questions for us? Feel free to put them in the YouTube chat. Carmichael, I will be there tomorrow, I promise. I'm so sorry for missing this morning. I didn't mean to. Sure. I didn't look at the schedule close enough. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to.
That was fun.
It was funny because I actually looked at the live stream because I saw Frankie was on. I was like, oh, they're having Frankie on. That's cool. And then I realized, oh, no, I'm supposed to be on next.
Yeah, that been there.
And Dave, I'm so sorry. I forgot, man. I will be on tomorrow Niners at 9 with Carmichael, Dave, Jason. It will be over StreamYard, though, because it's hard to commute in from Loomis from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. It's a challenge. The traffic gets really backed up.
Yeah, that old Carmichael traffic.
That's understandable.
Tin is asking in the chat, Kyle, what are you rocking?
What am I rocking?
Yeah.
I think clothes-wise.
I think clothes-wise. Oh, I got my my Fernando Tatis Jr. jersey on right now.
Ooh, muy caliente.
Yeah, no. My team's not in the playoffs, but we're very into playoff baseball today. So wore the Tatis jersey. Also, Nate, I thought it was funny that you walked away feeling impressed with the Cardinals when they literally like didn't stop the 49ers one time. Like defensively, they had like 5 touchdowns.
Hey, they punted.
I think offensively, I was more impressed.
Yeah,
and the Niners did punt. Yeah, I thought it was going to be more of a beatdown. Oh, this jersey does not want to stay. Whatever.
I called it. I said like 31-17, and it was 35-16.
I just realized the people can't see me, so at some point I have to show up on camera real quick. Not right now because we have 40 seconds left.
But, I would turn the other camera around.
You can do it when we talk about your trip to Levi's.
Yeah, we have that built in the segment.
Oh, you do? Yeah,
we
do. Okay.
We have a little Kyle corner.
How spicy. You guys want to hear all the details from the first trip to Levi's.
We should just have Kyle's Corner as an actual segment.
Yeah, it kind of is.
You should have me sit in that little corner over there. There's a little chair.
with the Oakland A's sign where all dreams go to die.
Yeah, where with the old seats from what I'm guessing is the old Arco.
Yes.
Yeah, I should just literally sit in the corner as we do it. All right, we got 15 seconds. Any parting thoughts for the YouTube people until the next break?
YouTube people, we love you. Thank you.
Ask us some questions.
Ask us some questions. We'll answer them. Tenure the
anything,
best.
Not just football. Anything.
Anything. Life.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast. That's me, Emil Fragoso. Of course, Nate Littlefield joining us via StreamYard today. We appreciate his presence as always. And it was a historic showing for Christian McCaffrey, just like this duel that we're listening in the audio. And we have some audio, actually, from Christian McCaffrey on that wonderful touchdown that he had. Play it, Kyle.
And Feliciano, the back up center. Second down, goal, 1 yard line. 49ers looking to score first here. Purdy goes under center. McCaffrey, the lone back. Debo, tight left. They stack. Willie Snead and Ayuk right, coming in motion. Debo, Purdy, with a handoff to McCaffrey. Walks in the end zone. Touchdown, San Francisco!
Yeah, that's Christian McCaffrey scoring. Not one, not two, not three, four, cuatro touchdowns for the 49ers week four against the Cardinals. I mean, there's nothing else you can say about this guy. He is just a bad, bad man. And LeBron James even had a little tweet about him saying he is ridiculous.
Yeah, that's always nice in the game, seeing, you know, the king tweet about your king, essentially.
Is Christian McCaffrey your king, Nate?
Yeah, I think he's in that spot right now.
It's not Brock Purdy.
Is he your
prince and McCaffrey's your king?
I'm loving everyone. I know it's not. I don't know. I'm loving Fred Warner. I'm loving Hufanga. I'm loving Eric Armstead. I'm loving Hargrave. It's just, I'm so happy with this team right now. I'm so happy with the 49ers. This is, honestly, I think this team, if you go and kind of compare every, this is kind of its own thing segment, but whatever, we're going off for a sec. If you compare every kind of regime, like linebackers to linebackers from this team and the 2012 Super Bowl team, I think this team wins in almost every single facet.
Wow.
I think like linebacker, like middle linebacker, I think there's a very good argument for Bowman and Willis, but then like D-line, it's close. Like Alden Smith, I think people forget he was amazing.
Unreal.
Just like unstoppable.
Yeah.
And his build, like his arms were so long. He was so great. But I think those are really kind of the only close ones. Maybe the O-line, which kind of leads us into what we're talking about today, is how are you feeling, Emil, about this 49ers O-line 4 weeks into the season?
Yeah, I am feeling better about it than I did after week one or week two. I'm feeling better about it on the right side and on the left side. Obviously, Trent Williams and Aaron Banks hold down that left side and do it very, very well. Jake Brendel at center. People had a lot of questions about Jake Brendel, but I think very quickly he's proven how talented he is as a center. And then obviously on that right side, you got guys like Spencer Burford, second-year player, and Colton McKivitz, who is a journeyman, now getting the start at right tackle. Colton's been the real question mark, you know, had some issues, and he was, I believe, the one to give up the sack against Brock Purdy. But I like what I've seen from Colton. I feel like he's steadily progressed over the games, and I hope that continues because I do think Colton is talented. I just don't know what his ceiling is if he's already kind of at it.
Yes, I'm impressed with those guys. I think there was it was worry in the start of the season of that right side of the O-line, and it slowed down to maybe like not even slight concern. It's more of a just be wary that problems can't arise there.
Yeah.
I know Feliciano was out. He suffered a concussion, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, he did. He's in the protocol.
Yeah, so he's obviously not a starter, but he, you know, he's someone who gets some snaps on the line during special teams. I'm impressed with the O-line. They've really held up. There's been some, you know, like Thibodeau and Thibodeau.
There you go.
Thinking NBA.
It's not Tibbs, man. Come on now.
Yeah. And TJ Watt. They've had some tough battles. They're gonna have Parsons this week. It's gonna be really interesting to see where they put him on the line. If they keep him away from Trent Williams, how that's gonna work. I'm sure Juszczyk will be helping out with him a lot.
What do you think of George Kittle and kind of not being a real focal point of the passing game, but being a part of the run game more so and helping out Colton McKivitz? Is that a good idea right now, or do you want to see Kittle get more involved vertically?
As long as Kittle's happy, I'm happy, and I think he is. I think he was more used in the passing game previously because Jimmy Garoppolo needed him. He was a safety valve, and also McCaffrey wasn't a thing either. McCaffrey's the safety valve now, which or the first option. Like, he's everything. He's literally everything.
He is.
Kittle, I think we saw him as the safety valve in the Thursday game where he went off for 90 yards.
Yeah.
He can catch the ball short and take it deep. It really just comes down to if Kittle's needed.
Yeah.
And I don't like where he's needed. Not if. He's obviously needed. It's where they're going to need him. If they're going to need him to help Brock get more time, if they're going to need him to help throw a huge block during a screen for Debo, whatever that is, Kittle will do it. And I think he's happy. And if he's happy, I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the same kind of feeling I am as well. As long as Kittle is happy, I know fantasy owners don't want to hear this. You know, we're just happy that Kittle is just playing his role. But Kittle is such a vital part of the run game that, like, he kind of has to be. He's, in my opinion, the best run-blocking tight end in the NFL. There really isn't anyone on his level at what he does, like, for the Niners especially. But you got guys like Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce who are more better, maybe route runners. But Kittle in the run game, I think, was what separates him, what makes him so valuable for the Niners.
Yeah, you know, maybe he needs to date a celebrity or something to kind of bring in.
That's we're going here already. No, we're going here.
No, we don't have to. I don't really care about that whole situation, to be honest. But
are you not a Swiftie?
I'm just nothing. I'm a fence sitter, classic fence sitter situation. You know, I don't really care.
Haters go, hey. I'm just kidding.
yeah. But do you think so? Obviously, Dallas this week.
Yes.
Week 5 of the NFL season, Sunday Night Football. It's going to be crazy. In Levi's Stadium, where the Niners beat the Cowboys last year.
Yep.
And before that, the Niners beat the Cowboys in the playoffs in Jerry's house, or the house that Jerry built, whatever. Jerry World. Do you think this is the biggest game of the season for the Niners? Regular season, obviously.
Ooh, that's a tough one. It's definitely one of the biggest games. I have to still kind of circle week 13 in Philadelphia as the biggest test for the Niners. I still think because they are undefeated right now, Philadelphia still take that top spot for me. And because the Niners are playing Dallas at home, it's a little bit different. It's not in Jerry World. But I do think this is a huge test for the Niners and their biggest one yet, because Dallas, after week 3 against the Cardinals, looked very, very shoddy after losing Trayvon Diggs. And now week 4, respond by beating Dallas and beating the brakes off them. Or beating New England, I apologize, and beating the brakes off them. So it's kind of, where are they at? We don't really know. And that's kind of what the Niners are going to find out. Like, are they a mixture of the two results? Are they the latter, the former? That's what the Niners are going to find out this weekend. It's going to be a great game regardless.
Well, what's interesting about Dallas too, they only have 8 offensive touchdowns. Wow. Dak has thrown 4. Yeah, they have 8 offensive touchdowns, but virtually their points per game is almost identical with the Niners. Both, they average 31 points per game. The Niners average 31.3. Mm-hmm. So, but the Niners, on the other hand, have 14 offensive touchdowns. That's, you know, kind of a big gap.
It's 6, I believe.
That is 6. That
I can
is
do my math.
Yeah, that's
look at math. Emil, big math guy.
I try there. Yeah.
ASU has a good math program.
No, they don't. We look at business school though. I'll give them that. But still,
all right, give them that. And they, you know, they gave us a elite wide receiver one, so I'm happy.
ASU, man, you guys got to watch ASU. It was different, like gravy, dude. He was just cooking. Him and N'Keal Harry were cooking fools ASU. N'Keal was unbelievable in college. Oh
yeah. Well, I do think this. Yeah, I think this is the second biggest game. I think there's other games that are really important on the Niners' schedule. I still think like the Cincinnati game is going to be big. I think Minnesota is going to be desperate and they're going to be dangerous. They're coming up. Eagles is going to be nuts. Baltimore on Christmas Day.
That's the one I have circled as well.
Yeah, that I think is number 3 for me. That's going to be – I cannot wait to see how the Niners deal with Lamar Jackson when that happens.
Do you have week 6 also circled for you against the Browns? Is that also a game to really, like, test, do you think?
Well, what's up with Deshaun Watson? Was it a concussion that kept him out? What kept him out?
I believe it was – Kyle, do you know the full details on the Deshaun Watson thing? It's been kind of weird.
I do not.
Yeah, he wanted to play but then couldn't. And look, if Deshaun can play, it's going to be a different team, obviously, because DTR, I think, is very talented but not at the NFL level just yet. He needs some more time. Yeah. But that defense is for real. I very much think that defense is for real. They had a bad game, yes, but I think it's a very talented unit. And I think it's going to put a lot of issues for the Niners to deal with, especially with Jeff Schwartz calling the plays back there.
Well, it's one of those situations I was talking about with the Niners in the last segment. When your defense is on the field the whole game, it's almost impossible for them to be elite because they just – it's not fair. So worn out. I hate to use the word. It's not fair. But
yeah.
It's brutal for them. It's not what you train for, what you practice for. So it's not – that game against Cleveland is not super high on my radar for how, you know, how important they are. I'm just glad the Niners are starting to play teams that are a little better to kind of strut their stuff a little more, kind of see how this team works. Brock still hasn't played from behind, really. He's played in close games, but he hasn't had to bring the team out of like a 13-point hole or even like a 20-point hole.
Well,
what?
Everyone forgets that Raider game last year where Brock had to lead the team back from behind.
That's very true.
Against Jarrett Stidham and the Raiders? Yeah.
Jarrett Stidham gave the Niners fits. We can't argue that Jarrett Stidham didn't look like a QB1 that day. I couldn't believe it. I was baffled sitting at home watching that game.
That was wild. I do, you know what? I do forget about that. I more or less I was talking about this season.
Okay.
But yeah. But yeah, man, it's tough. The Eagles, though, I got to mention them real quick. I still feel the same about them, even though they played that close to Washington. I made the same excuse for the Niners. Divisional game, Washington. Yeah. Washington is a good team. Howell's a good and up-and-coming guy. I know he had a 4 interception game the previous week. Looked very, very bad. True. I don't even say mediocre, bad, but
yes, they did.
It's their organization is a cluster, so
you never know.
You know, yeah,
totally. But they're less of a cluster now, though, than they were in years past. Totally. Obviously, with the new owner.
Last year, the Eagles got their first loss to Washington. So I think they were 8-0. They had their first loss.
Wow.
Eagles or Jalen Hurts actually has only lost one regular season game in the last 21 regular season games.
Yeah, I think it was 11-0 at the time. It was something like that. It was either 10-0 or 11-0. Like people were saying, could they go 17-0?
I had Jalen Hurts my fantasy team, and it was a lot of fun last year. Let me tell you, it was a lot of fun last year.
I know they sat him in week 18, so that's
and he had the shoulder injury, so Minshew lost the other games.
Correct, he had that. I believe it was an AC joint sprain. Similar to, I believe, Deshaun Watson is having right now with his shoulder issue.
Derek Carr has that.
Yeah, Derek Carr has that. Deshaun Watson, that's what kept him out, I believe, last week as well, was a shoulder injury. Kyle giving me the information. I appreciate him being the back there. but look, the other game I have circled, and we'll talk about them as we go on to the season, but Tampa Bay. They play Tampa Bay as well.
True.
And while it wasn't circled earlier in the year, they're 3-1 start the season. They're probably the best in the NFC South, and that's not saying much because that division's a swamp. But Baker Mayfield at least looks decent, and the offense is competent, and so is the defense. And so that's something, at least. That's kind of competitive in a way.
Yeah, they kind of swapped roles with Cincinnati if you're looking at the schedule before the year started, right? You think the Cincinnati Niners ones could be a Super Bowl preview, could be crazy. But, you know, I still think Cincinnati's a good team. I think Joe Burrow's hurt. Their defense is beat up, whatever. I still think that's going to be a good game, a closer game maybe than most people would think.
Especially for the bye week, too.
But yeah, those two I think have swapped. I Tampa Bay, you know, it's just Baker's got a chip on his shoulder. He's playing well and their defense is still solid. So I would be watching out for that one as well.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. We got a couple minutes here before we go to break, but I got to ask you, Nate, we talking about the two undefeated teams in the NFL. Niners and Eagles, both undefeated right now. The only ones left, the Miami Dolphins, who we had up there with the Niners, they just lost and got beaten down pretty badly by Buffalo. It was close there for a second, but Buffalo came through. Where do you have the Niners? Do you have them right alongside the Eagles? Do you have them above the Eagles? Like, where do you rank the undefeated teams right now? Is it just the Niners on their own peg? What are your thoughts?
I, you know, bias coming through here. I think the Niners are the best team in the NFL. I've thought that for the last 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. I really do. I truly do. There's arguments to be made. Like, everyone loses a game, but they're 4-0. They're playing better ball than the Eagles. They're more balanced than the Eagles. Their defense is
better.
Their defense is better. The Niners offense has been surprising, like shockingly good. And that's kind of not been the case really under the Shanahan era.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a more defensive focused team for sure. Yeah. But now they're kind of relying on the offense to score and it's working.
Mm-hmm.
So I genuinely believe the 49ers is the best team in football right now.
I would agree with you as well. I do think the Eagles are very talented, but I think the Niners 100% are, I don't say leaps and bounds better, but definitely on a higher tier because they've just been so much more dominant in their wins. And even Philadelphia last week against the Commanders. Yes, it's a good team. It's competent, but they also got blown up by the Bills 35-0 or something like that. Something crazy.
Yeah.
So that's part of this is that any given Sunday, right? Well, the Niners are not an any given Sunday team. They can beat you up and down every single week, it seems. And that's kind of what separates the Niners from everyone else. But again, we will get to more in the week 5 preview right after the break. Return of the Empire, Sacktown Sports, Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
All right. We're still live on the YouTubes.
Don't go away. Is that a threat, Emil? Are you threatening them?
I'm threatening them.
Don't you dare go away. We have to talk about Micah Parsons.
You know what? Sometimes I'm trying to hit the out. I get carried away with my outros. Okay.
Don't go anywhere.
Don't go anywhere. Or I'll come for you. I don't know.
Wow.
Kyle, you got that Parsons ready to go?
Yeah, we're all ready to go. Okay. We got highlights, we got sounds, everything.
I will call for that in the first couple minutes, most likely.
Wonderful. The burger has a question. Do you like chicken?
Yeah, chicken's fantastic. I'll actually opt for chicken just because I try to avoid beef and red meat as much as I can.
But
it's also very expensive. So yeah, chicken, turkey, it's all good.
Yeah, I like turkey.
Turkey, I'm off on turkey, dude. It's flavorless. What kind of
you doing, like turkey, like meat? Like, because I can do a turkey meat, but regular,
like ground turkey? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, ground turkey. Yeah.
I'm not huge on ground turkey. Like,
really?
I think you really got to dress it up seasoning wise, you know, whatever, like a turkey burger. It's just not my favorite.
Well, let me ask you this. We're getting into fall now and you got the pumpkin, obviously, and Thanksgiving's around the corner.
My dad drew that.
That's super cool. That's all. Shout out Papa Ledbetter. Or shout out Papa. shout out Papa Ledbetter. Don't shout out Papa Ledbetter. Shout out.
Screw Papa Ledbetter.
You put L's in your name. That's what got me confused. Littlefield.
Screw Papa Ledbetter. Who cares?
Shut up, Papa Littlefield. But Nate, I have to ask you, are you a ham on Thanksgiving guy or a turkey on Thanksgiving guy?
Well, honestly, I'm pretty blessed to get both a lot of the times. This year, I'm going to be fending for myself when it comes to Thanksgiving because I think my dad's going to the game in Seattle.
Ooh.
With my little cousin. He's taking it, which is crazy. But my dad is usually the Thanksgiving guy. Goes crazy. So
okay.
I'm going to be missing out on that. But my favorite thing is stuffing.
Truly.
Good choice.
Great. It's so predictable, but it's such a great choice.
Turkey off, like cut from the turkey. Okay.
You got to put gravy on it.
Yeah, you gotta
eat that thing dry. It's ugh.
Yeah. We got 20 seconds.
I gotta ask in YouTube chat as well. Does anybody like cranberry sauce?
Yes.
I don't like cranberry sauce.
I'm good off cranberry sauce.
Okay.
It is excellent.
Can't stand it.
It is excellent. Okay.
Also, Brandon and I, you can Nikhil Harry went 7-5 that year they were cooking.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Return of the Empire podcast
with Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
Two running backs, two tight ends.
Back inside the Toyota red zone, McCaffrey goes in motion right. Backwards pass led by Juszczyk, a block there. Hurdles a man, 10-5, touchdown! CMC! McCaffrey's already got three touchdowns. They put him into a pistol behind Purdy. Debo was right. Three or left. They give it to McCaffrey off the left side. 1, 2, 3, 4. Touchdown! CMC!
Yes, CMC. 1, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns, as you heard there from Greg Papa and Tim Ryan on the Niners radio broadcast. And, of course, this is Return of the Empire. Emil Fragoso, Nate Littlefield. Of course, Kyle Ledbetter on the ones and twos behind the glass. Nate with the finger guns, it looks like. Are you threatening the audience now, Nate?
I'll do what I have to do.
It's a duel of fates right now.
It's a duel of fates, absolutely. And, of course, we got a big duel, a big clash this weekend under the bright lights of Sunday Night Football. Prime time for Niners Cowboys Week 5 at Levi's Stadium. Sunday Night Football, NBC. Amazing, amazing contest. Nate, is this the biggest game for the Niners right now? Is this a statement game? Do they have to make a statement? Like, is it a bigger game for Dallas or for the San Francisco team?
That's a good question. Who's it a bigger game for? That is something I feel like the narrative is coming more from Dallas's side. Mm-hmm. So, but Dallas also gets the most media attention, seemingly. I don't have stats to back that up, but it feels like.
Well, they're America's team, right?
But yeah, it doesn't matter. Dallas is always, always, always being talked about, good or bad. So in that sense, I think it might be more important for them.
Yeah.
I think either way it goes, it's going to be way blown out of proportion media-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I do think the Niners win. I don't really know what to expect from Dallas really offensively. I think if the Niners score, if I had to guess, I think that if the Niners score like 24, 28 points, I think they're going to win. Protect the ball, because Dallas has been scoring on defense so mm-hmm. much. They have 4 defensive touchdowns this year. I don't think the Niners so far this year, they haven't made mistakes that teams like the Giants have or the Patriots have. I don't see pick sixes happening really.
Yeah.
Brock still hasn't thrown an interception. He had a turnover. TJ Watt got him for that strip sack, I believe. But I think the Niners take too much care. Do a very good job of taking care of the ball. I think we're going to see some more 3-and-outs from them.
Yeah.
Than we have this year so far. But it's probably more of an important game for Dallas, especially since the Niners are already a game ahead of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you just listen to some of the quotes coming out of Dallas camp right now, obviously Jerry Jones gave a lot of praise to the Niners and called them the Super Bowl team to beat right now. But other players like Dak Prescott, Jonathan Hankins, the defensive tackle for the Cowboys, they feel really, really strong about them right now. In fact, there's a quote going around from Jonathan Hankins saying, "This week we definitely are going to be more ready and attack these guys. I definitely think this is the year we get them." Get them, obviously referring to the Niners. Should they be confident, Nate, or should they be more cautious?
I mean, why should they be confident? Their defense is, I guess, statistically better. They lost their second best player, who is actually, corners are so important for beating this Niners team because,
yes,
yeah, but whatever. Their offense looks pretty mediocre, you know, so far. They don't look elite on offense, yeah. I'd say. They look more average. You got to be confident, right? But they've lost the last 2 matchups in the playoffs, one in Dallas, one in Santa Clara,
Yes.
People get upset about that. I don't know. They have great players. They feel like they're due, probably. And if, you know, Jerry Jones even mentioned, I think today on the Fan that they want to see him twice this year. They want to see him twice this year, and Jerry Jones thinks the Niners should be the Super Bowl favorite, and they are. But then we got guys like I'm not really feeling the hatred, I guess, between, you know, like it was in the 90s with Niners and Dallas.
There's some, but not the same.
There's some. It's definitely not the same. You got guys, you know, Micah Parsons, speaking of, obviously he's probably the most talented player on their team, right?
Yeah.
Like,
100%.
True, yeah. He has his podcast weekly. He's been for a few weeks now saying nice things about the Niners. And I pulled a quote from him today, or some audio from him today, if we could just play that real quick.
I already told y'all Brock Purdy is the real deal. I mean, Brock Purdy has dominated. He has not lost a regular season game yet. We have our hands full. Y'all know who they have. They have Christian McCaffrey, who just won an absurd last week. LeBron even shouted this man out. When you get a shout out from LeBron, LeBron's random tweets, you know you are hooping. I mean, look at what Christian McCaffrey did against the Arizona Cardinals. Four touchdowns. Bro, I mean, Christian McCaffrey's the best back in the NFL. He can do everything. He's in the pass. He's in the run. It's going to be an extreme matchup. And the question is, will we have Brock Purdy his first loss of the season? That's something we don't know. That's why we let the pass talk. We let football talk for us. And it goes things like that. This is going to be a very good game. And especially it's at the place where we lost at. I think it's going to be a defensive game as always. We got to come in there, find a way to make Purdy one-dimensional and be dominant.
Yeah, I mean, Micah Parsons giving a lot of praise to Brock Purdy and the 49ers and doesn't seem as confident as some of his other teammates, I guess. You know, they let the football speak for itself. But do you, Nate, feel like the Cowboys and Parsons especially are kind of putting the Niners on a pedestal to knock them down?
Oh, it's a good point you raised there, no pun intended. they could be doing that. They could very well be trying to be like, oh yeah, they're, you know, kind of in a weird way being like, oh, they're better than us, you know. And then when they do it, they get even more praise going their direction. But I truly believe that Micah Parsons is being genuine.
Yeah,
specifically him. I think he's maybe Jerry's doing that, you know, by going on and saying, oh, they're going to win the Super Bowl. So when he said, when, you know, if the Cowboys beat him in week five, they can go, oh, now we're going to win the Super Bowl. But specifically with Micah, I don't think he's doing that. I think he is just being honest. I think he's incredibly respectful, which is really, it's cool to see, I guess. It is a lot more fun when there's that animosity. And it's kind of surprising when you don't hear a player go, yeah, we're going to beat them this week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Also, shout out Micah Parsons. He's just very intelligent person, really knows how to break down the game and such. Really a very young star in this NFL that the NFL can definitely clamor on. Like, as a casual fan, I very much enjoy watching Micah Parsons play football because he's so, so talented. Obviously, he plays with the Dallas Cowboys. Not a fan's not going to like him. But as a person, as a player, he's like a very, very nice person and a lot of respect for him. But in terms of Dallas and where they're at right now, they have a couple injuries, not too many though. Micah Parsons is questionable going into this week. So is Tyron Smith, their left tackle, as well as Zach Martin, their star right tackle or right guard, I should say. So a couple injuries, a couple banged up spots. They are questionable, so they're probably going to end up suiting up after all. Does a fully healthy Dallas squad have enough ammo to beat the Niners, Nate?
I mean, fully healthy, are you counting Trayvon Diggs?
Oh, Diggs is out, sure. So that's Diggs. Yeah, do they, I mean, currently constructed?
Yes, they do. But will they? I don't think so. I really think that Dallas's issue is their offense. Mm-hmm. If their offense was clicking a lot harder and our defense or their defense was a little lighter, I would say the Niners' weakness right now is probably their defense. If you have to pick between their offense and defense.
Yeah.
So it's nice that it's kind of balancing out those two going at each other, being, you know, maybe not at the top of their game.
Yeah.
I don't think offensively they can keep up. So they're going to need to probably score on special teams or probably score on defense, which I don't know if that's going to happen.
Well, it did happen against the New England Patriots. They had, you know, two interception return, I believe, and a fumble return as well. And that might be the key to the game for them, is really trying to just control it and make those big plays count. Now, I don't know if it's going to happen against the Niners. Obviously, the Niners are very good at not letting that happen. But if there is a formula that Dallas can figure out, it's going to be, like Parsons said, a defensive battle, a grit and grind, make the most of your opportunities. And I do think that the Niners are going to look at the Cardinals game that Dallas lost to and be like, hey, what didn't work for Dallas here? Why were the Cardinals so successful? I think that's going to be kind of a, I won't say a blueprint, but just definitely a opening sight into what the Cowboys are this season. And I think that's going to play a factor for how the Niners game plan going into week five.
Well, I think the blueprint for Dallas to beat the Niners is from the Rams game. And I've talked about this before. The quick passes need to happen. They need to attack the outside the numbers. Mm-hmm. I think that's where the damage needs to be done. It needs to be those like 8-yard routes, those 8 to 12 yard, that area. I think that's Stafford getting the ball out so quick was incredibly deadly.
Yeah.
I don't know that Dak can do that. I think he'll need some help. He'll need, I don't think he's on that level. Stafford is, you know, quarterback IQ and,
yeah,
and speed wise. I think Dak needs to do some damage on the feet, which Josh Dobbs looked okay running on the Niners. You know, he had a couple good runs.
Yeah, he did.
But that's what I thought the Giants were going to do. Honestly, I thought Daniel Jones was going to there was going to be more of a game plan.
I think Jones got scared pretty early on from doing that. I think he was like, yeah, I'm not going against Drake Greenlaw or Fred Warner. They're going to take my head off. I think that's what happened. Whereas Josh Dobbs, not scared of anything at all. I mean, he was fantastic.
No, he's not. So I think Dak needs to use his feet this game to beat the Niners. I think they need to, quick throws, quick. It should open up other things. Will they do it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know. I think we should give a score prediction, though, into this, kind of wrap up this Niners-Cowboys talk. This is tough. It's always tough to predict a Niners-Cowboys game. It's in Levi's, Sunday Night Football. Weird things can happen. I'm going to say the Niners score 24 points and the Cowboys score 17.
Okay. I'm going to go 28-24 Niners.
I like it. I like it a lot. Kyle?
I'll go 23-20.
Ooh, okay. Close, though. All close.
23-20 Niners, Kyle?
Yeah, 49ers win.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun Sunday Night Football.
It's going to be a dogfight. I can feel it being a dogfight. Like, I can feel it being a dogfight.
God, what if the Niners just blow them out?
Oh, dude.
Then it's like, then what do you do?
Can you imagine Stephen A. Smith on Monday after the Niners blow them out on national television? Mm-hmm. Man, that would be like must-see television for the Bay Area.
Yeah, it'd be a lot worse for Dallas to get blown out than for the Niners to get blown out by Dallas. Well, I don't know. I would be pretty confused.
It'd be shocking.
I would be confused for sure if the Niners got beat up by Dallas pretty bad. But it might be a wake-up call. But these are all hypothetical. We're living in a fake world.
And it's not what we think is going to happen. We think the Niners are going to end up covering probably and end up winning this game. But before we close out the show here, we got to send it over to Kyle's Corner. And we got to talk about our favorite guy over there, Kyle Ledbetter, our producer. He was actually at Week 4 Niners Cardinals. And I haven't gotten a chance to talk to him about this yet. So, Kyle, take it away. What was your experience like at Levi's Stadium?
Oh, I just had a lovely time at Levi's Stadium. This is the first time I'd ever been to the stadium. So it was really great to be out there. Mm-hmm. I will say that we were up in the 400 section, but it was actually kind of cool. So we were by the, I guess if you're looking at Niners logo straight on, we were in the right end zone. So when Michael Wilson caught that sliding touchdown, we were like right parallel.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're at. Yeah.
Man, we didn't mention Michael Wilson. He looked very good.
Stanford alum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Wilson. Yeah. Someone brought that up that Stanford alums had like six of the seven touchdowns because it's McCaffrey and Wilson.
Big day for the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, the game was fantastic. I didn't realize that the McCaffrey play would go viral, but as I was watching it, when he's hurdling Keytrell Clark, I saw the replay on the big screen. I was like, ooh, like a visible, oh, wow. He just hurdled. I didn't realize it would go viral at the time, but that was great.
Oh.
Took the train over there. It was fantastic. Yes, I loved it.
You got there with plenty of time?
Yeah, no, we were roaming around the blue lot and the green lot for a while, just seeing what was up. They had the red zone channel on the screens for a while, so I at least got to see some football while I was there. Mm-hmm. I just looked up, I was like, how are the Dolphins giving up 31 in the first half? It was good. I had fun, and glad that I finally got to see a Cardinals game, B, go to Levi's Stadium, because I've been here for like 4 years now in Northern California and had never been to Levi's.
What do you think of the stadium? Like overall, is it decent?
Yeah. I know it's a 10-year-old stadium now, so whatever the expectations are of that, but no, it was really cool. I like the layout of Levi's. We were looking into the part that had the press box and the executive seats and everything else. And I was like, wow, this is kind of a fun layout. It had a very like college football vibe to it.
Yeah.
Just like the towering mountain with the press box and the suites and all that stuff.
That's where I was at, is in that press box, man.
Did you eat anything?
We had they have like the tater tots with like the meat and the sour cream and all that stuff, whatever it was. Yeah, that was good.
That's cool.
Sounds yummy right now.
I passed on garlic fries, but I've had those before at the Giants games.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you had a good time. Most people really hate on Levi's Stadium.
They do.
I mean, I keep saying it. I'm so biased. I like Levi's. I think it's cool. I think it's too much.
I don't like the parking situation. They need to figure out a way to expedite that one.
I don't think I have a very strong reference point for football stadiums because I think the only ones I've been to are San Diego's old stadium that was falling apart. Yeah. Tampa and this one. So I don't have a very strong reference point.
Tampa?
Yeah. I've been to Tampa before.
You went to a Tampa Bay Buccaneers game?
Yeah, it was the year after Tom Brady won the Super Bowl.
How did I not know this till
the
now?
Pirate ship. You got to see the pirate ship?
I got to see the pirate ship, but it's a really old stadium, like really run down.
Oh, yeah. Okay, gross. Interesting.
Yeah, Kyle, well, thank you for going. I'm glad you made it. I was worried you weren't. Didn't you do the morning show as well?
Nate took over for me. Yeah. No, okay, I've have car trouble.
I'm in super debt to Kyle, so I jumped on that.
Super debt. Okay.
I love when the team comes together to help each other out. That's awesome.
Yeah. Can I have a ride home, Emil?
I got you, my guy. You need one, I got you. But anyways, this is Return of the Empire. Enough jokes. We got a game to watch. Week 5 Sunday Night Football, prime time under the bright lights of NBC. Niners, Cowboys. We all think the Niners are going to win, but will they? We'll find out next week on another episode of Return of the Empire. For Nate Littlefield, Kyle Ledbetter, myself, Emil Fregoso, thank you all for tuning in. We'll be back next week, same time, 6-7, here on Sacktown Sports. Have a good night, y'all. Peace.
Yep, we're good. Cool. I forgot before I end the stream, I have to pay off the tees so that the people can see my jersey. I forgot. Yeah. We teased that 40 minutes ago.
Hold on the camera, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on. Shout out to Brennan and Braylon, too.
Yeah, shout out to both of them.
Just quick shout out.
Oh, here he comes. Look at that.
He's coming in the big room.
Look at that. Ooh. Oh,
okay. Ooh. Ask about the pants. What kind of pants is he
wearing? What kind of pants are you wearing?
Just regular pants right now. We don't have colorful pants.
I love it.
Notorious for
Kyle's amazing. Rudy, thank you. Appreciate you. Peace, man. Tim, of course. Jeez. Thank you. Nate, thank you for pulling through, man. You're a warrior, dude.
It's so hard. Yeah, I really put it all on the line.
You're a warrior, man. You're really suffering. So thank you. Hope to see you soon, man. Please drink fluids and get some rest.
Yeah, have a good show tomorrow with Mr. Dave and Jason Ross.
Dave might kill me. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Dave.
That'd
might
be quite the way to go.
Dave might end it for me. Yeah. This might be the last time I go on Carmichael Dave. We'll see. But anyways, that's it for us. Thank you, everyone, and we'll be back next week.
See ya.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.